Genesis and chapter 21. It's strange now having people looking at you. It used to be strange having an empty building, and now it's strange when people are looking back at you. But it's good to be here. It's good to be back in the building. And we trust the Lord will protect you and keep you safe, and that you'll know great days in His will as time goes by. Genesis chapter 21, and we're going to read from verse number 9. I've been working on something, just sharing a little devotional with our own church, and I did that a few days ago, and I just continued to work and expand it a little bit, and we'll see how things go this morning. We trust what the Lord has to say will come as a blessing to you this morning. Genesis 21, and reading from the verse number 9, please. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight, because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight, because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice, and wept. God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make of him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of Egypt. And we do trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. I want to think of Hagar's hopelessness this morning. I want to look at this lady, say a little bit about her in a moment, but I want to think of this lady. We find this weeping woman in the wilderness. She's going through a terrible time, and we want to see what we can learn from this morning. I want to think, as I say, of Hagar's helplessness. I believe, and I'm speaking to many people, that many have felt this particular lockdown that we're in at the moment has perhaps been the most difficult of all. It seemed to be a short period, and then it was extended, and no sooner have it extended until someone will get up and say, some medical person, someone from Stormont will get up and say, well, this will probably go on much longer, and then much longer and much longer. And sometimes when you have a little bit of light, the light is dimmed very quickly, and sometimes it's just blackened entirely. I believe this has been, as I say, for many the most difficult period of all. And I want to think of Hagar this morning, because we're going to find her in a very low place, a very low point in her life. We want to see how God helped her. And you know, this wasn't the first time that God had helped her. I should say that I understand fully why Hagar had to leave. We've read it this morning in verse number 9, how she had been, her son Ishmael had been mocking Isaac. That word mocking is carried into the New Testament by Paul in Galatians chapter 4, and it's translated by the word persecuted. This is a strong word. It was quite possible that this man Ishmael could do harm to Isaac, possibly even eventually take his life. Now we know that through Isaac was to come Christ. Christ was to come. So this was very important. And so that's why God said to Abraham, yes, cast the bondwoman out. She has to go. And Ishmael has to go. And I understand that. But I want to look at this lady and see what she had to go through. And let me say, this wasn't the first time that she had faced a difficult time. Just flick a few pages back. I'm not going to spend long on this. Over to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. I want to think first of all about her treatment and what Hagar goes through here. And as I say, I understand the providence of God. I knew what God was doing. I understand the future and all of the aspects concerning this. But I just want to think of this lady. And I want to turn her attention to her this morning. Look at Genesis 16 verse 4. And he, that is Abraham, went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. You know the story, how Sarah and Abraham decided to take matters into their own hands, how they became impatient with the promises of God. God had promised Abraham a seed. And Sarah was getting old, and Abraham was older, and they felt that the time of giving birth had passed. And they decided the best thing to do was to give God a hand to keep his promises. They became impatient. And so Sarah says, look, you go into Hagar, have a child, and surely this child will be the seed. This was never of God. This was never God's plan. This was never God's way. And of course, when Hagar conceives, she now looks down on Sarah. She looks down her nose at Sarah, if you like. It says in verse 4, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And because of that, Sarah began to act against Hagar. Look at verse number 6. But Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And here we see this woman, Hagar, and she runs away. And she's left the home, if you like, and she's gone away. Verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. I just want to say something very quickly. The Lord located her. The Lord knew exactly where she was. She's gone away. She's in a lonely place. She's in a dangerous place, a desperate place, but the Lord knew where she was. And the Lord found her. The Lord located her. The Lord questioned her. Verse number 8. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. That by questioning her, the Lord shows he's interested in her. Not too many people were interested, but God was interested. And maybe you can identify with Hagar this morning. The Lord located her, the Lord questioned her. And then the Lord directs her, look at verse 9. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And you see that here's a woman in a desperate situation. God meets with her. God questions her. God directs her. It's obvious the Lord had listened to her. And she's sent back. And she finds herself in the right place again. Now we turn the clock forward. Now Isaac has been born. Ishmael is probably a teenager. It's reckoned Isaac was two or three years of age, and as I said, Ishmael was mocking Isaac in the home, and now Hagar has to leave again. And again, I'm thinking of her treatment. Look at verse number 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, we're back in Genesis 21, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Here she's sent away again. Here's another problem, here's another difficulty. And you know, we've had lockdown after lockdown after lockdown. Sometimes perhaps we found it not too difficult. Other times we struggled with it. And perhaps, as I say, this has maybe been one of the most difficult of all. But of course there are other issues. There are things going on in your life that perhaps you're finding difficult. And let me say, maybe this is not the first crisis. Maybe like Hagar, there's been crisis after crisis after crisis. And no matter what happens, God met Hagar at the point of her need the first time. And he's going to meet her at the point of her need again. No matter what you're going through, no matter how often you go through difficult times, no matter how many waves of this virus come, no matter how many lockdowns they throw at us, our God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the one that brought Hagar through the first time is going to bring her through again. And the Lord that has been with you from the moment you trusted Christ, he's going to be with you every step of the way. He will never leave thee. He will never forsake thee. You know, when you think of the treatment of Hagar here, Think about what happened. It was Sarah who wanted to give her to Abraham. It was Abraham, first of all, who brought her out of Egypt. It was Abraham who was complicit in this sin. She had to run away. And Genesis chapter 16, now she's driven out. And Genesis 21, it was God's people who had blighted her. It was God's people who had biased her character. And maybe you can identify with that this morning. Maybe you feel like the Lord when he said in Psalm 55, it was not an enemy that reproached me, then could I have borne it, neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him, but it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. And maybe you've been dealt harshly even by some of God's people. And you can identify with Hagar this morning. I want you to think of her treatment. And then I want you to think of her trial. Look again at verse 14. Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Think of the supplies here. Look what Abraham gives her. He gives her bread and a bottle of water. Now he's a man of means. He was a wealthy man. Why did he give her so little? It could be that God instructed him exactly what to give her. We can't be sure. But when you read it, it makes Abraham look bad. You see, when God's people sin, we make God look bad. Isn't that what the devil wanted? Isn't that what he said to Eve? Hath not God said? You know, didn't he say to Eve, God doth know? God's holding something back from you. And the devil wants to make God look bad. Abraham and Sarah had sinned. And when God's people sin, when our testimony's in tatters, we make God look bad. We're supposed to magnify Christ in our lives. When there's sin there, when our testimony's in tatters, we're not magnifying Christ. We're casting a poor image of Christ to those who are around us. But you see the supplies. It could be that God was testing Hagar here. And he knew exactly what was going to happen. But you see the supplies. And then you see the surroundings again in verse number 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child. Now, he didn't put the child on the shoulder, as I said. The child is now a teenager. And sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Here's this lady, and she's gone, and she's in the wilderness. And when she looks around, what a dire situation she's in. You know, chapter 16, it was bad, but at least there was water. It says when the Lord found her, she was by the fountain in the way to Shur. But here, there's nothing. And the trial seems to be more difficult. What a hopeless, pitiful case she is. This woman in the wilderness. No one to help. No one to care. And just meager supplies. You see the supplies. You see what surrounded her. And then you see the sun. Look again at verse 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. The water has run out. I wonder, has hope run out for you? I wonder, has your patience run out? Wonder, has your faith ran out at the moment? Do you find yourself in a wilderness this morning? Like this dear lady we're thinking about this morning. Look at verse 16. And she went and she sat down over against him a good way off. She's talking about Ishmael, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of a child. And she sat over against him, lift up her voice and wept. The only hope for her was that Ishmael was going to die. She had no hope. She couldn't bear to watch her child suffer. I know during lockdown, the most difficult thing I find is the impact it has on our children. I don't have any little ones at home, but I have a young lad still at school, still at high school age. And I'd be more concerned about him. Missing out in his education. Life not being normal. And you see the impact it has on our little ones. And sometimes we can feel we have failed them. Somehow we failed them. And I'm sure Hagar felt like that. She felt she had failed Ishmael. She couldn't do anything for him. And so she puts him under this shrub and she goes a bow shot's length away, about 1,000 feet, they reckon. And she just knows there's no hope for him and she doesn't want to watch him die. If you like, it was out of sight and out of mind. Can you see what this dear lady is going through this morning? Are you at your wit's end? Have you run out of patience, run out of hope? Has fear come in and you've been robbed of faith? And whether you're watching from home this morning or whether you're sitting in this meeting, it makes no difference. But you know exactly who the Lord's speaking to this morning. You see the treatment, you see the trial. And then you see the tears. Look again at verse 16. And she went and she sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of a child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And here she becomes one of the weeping women of Scripture. And here we have this weeping woman in the wilderness. Can you really get anything much worse? She's just expecting her son to die. There's really no hope for her either. And all she can do is sit down and weep. She's nothing left that she can do. And maybe again, you know exactly what she's going through this morning. And I started to think of some of the weeping women in Scripture. I thought about Esther. We read in Esther 8 verse 3, Esther spake yet again before the king, fell down at his feet and besought him with tears. And you know what was wrong with Esther? You know that Haman was going to kill all of the Jews. You know that the only hope was Esther. Would Esther have the courage? Would she have the backbone to go into the king and to plead for the people? And of course she did. And she says, if I perish, I perish. What a selfless act that we find from Esther. And she's weeping here because she doesn't want to see her people die. She's weeping because of life. Have you ever wept for someone because you know that life is ebbing away? Or have you wept for someone because they don't have eternal life? Then you can identify with Esther. But you see, Esther was a weeping woman and God came. And God heard the cry of her tears. And God met her at the point of her need. Remember Hannah? 1 Samuel 1 verse 7, and so he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her. This is, of course, is Peninnah, who was Elkanah's other wife. Therefore she wept and did not eat. It says in verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Verse 15, Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. She wept. She was filled with sorrow. What was the problem with Hannah? She had a longing in her life. She longed for a child. It was breaking her heart. And she wept and wept and wept. And her old adversary provoked her sore. And all she could do, it says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. A little bit like Christ in Gethsemane, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. God heard the cry of her tears. And God met Hannah at the point of her need. Do we have any weeping woman here this morning? No, you're not weeping in church, but you know what it is to weep at home. Maybe it's life. There's a family member not saved. Maybe there's someone who are physically coming to the end and all you can do is weep. And Hannah, she wept because she had a longing. Remember, Mary Magdalene stood at the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she thought that Christ was gone. The tomb was empty. She thought someone had taken the body of Christ. And she just stands there and weeps. And Peter and John, they run past her. They don't understand that the two angels had nothing to help her with. Yes, they asked, why are you weeping? Or what are you looking? But the angels could do nothing for her. Peter and John didn't seem to even notice her. And sometimes that's true of the people of God. We don't notice the pain and the suffering and the hardships of others. But there was a man she thought was the gardener. Even through her tears, she couldn't really see Christ. And all he had to do was say, "Mary. Mary." And Christ met her again at the point of her need. How many have shed tears in a graveyard? What a hopeless place it would be if it had not been for a risen Savior. What a difference a risen Savior makes to the tears that I'm sure most of us have shed standing at the graveyard. Here we have the weeping woman in Scripture. Esther, the Lord met her at the point of her need. Hannah, the Lord met her at the point of her need. Here was Mary Magdalene, and again the Lord met her at the very point of her need. And of course, here we have not only Esther and Hannah and Mary, but here we have Hagar as well. And I just described her situation as lowliness. She was at such a low point. And God could hear the tears and hear the cry through the tears. I love that little verse in Isaiah 38, verse 5. I know it's spoken to Hezekiah. And the Lord said to Hezekiah, "I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears." And maybe someone here has been shedding tears. We have a Savior this morning that can see those tears, appreciate those tears, and will draw nigh to thee in those weeping moments. You see the treatment here. You see the trial here. This weeping woman in the wilderness. You see the tears. And then here's something tremendous. Remember, she's in an awful situation here. But I love how verse 17 starts. And God. And God. God was about to move in the situation. Are you waiting for the "and God"? Are you just waiting, patiently trusting that God's going to step in? Look at verse 17. "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is.'" And God was listening. Look at verse 17. God heard the voice of the lad. Oh, we should encourage our children to pray. Isn't it good when children pray? And here's Ishmael, he's just crying unto God. It's just the cry of a young lad. But God heard the cry of this young lad. God was listening. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. Maybe you're saying, "No one is listening." Yes, there is someone who's listening. The Lord's listening this morning. Then he was inquiring, look at verse 17, "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar?'" As I said earlier on when he asked her a question previously, God's still interested in Hagar. What aileth thee? Is God asking you this morning, what's wrong? What's your problem? What's your difficulty? Have you shared it with him this morning? What aileth thee, Hagar? You see, the Lord was listening. The Lord was inquiring. And the Lord is speaking. Look again at verse 17. "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is.'" Isn't this a wonderful statement? Fear not. Are you filled with fear this morning? And God's coming to you in the wilderness this morning. And maybe you are a weeping woman in the wilderness. That's how God speaks to people. Just finds them exactly where they are. Is there fear this morning? Is God saying to you, "Fear not"? And you see faith here as well, because he talks about Ishmael, where he is, the worst possible place. And God's saying, even in the worst possible place, where you are this morning, you can trust me. You can lean on these everlasting arms. And you see fear, you see faith. And then he says something about the future. Verse 18, arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And here he talks about the future. Is God saying to you this morning, look, don't fear, will you trust me? I know all about tomorrow. Don't you be worrying about tomorrow. I've got tomorrow covered. And God draws nigh to this woman. It's something tremendous here. And God. But look at verse 18 again. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thine hand, for I will make of him a great nation. Here's another and God, verse 19. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. God opened her eyes. What a difference when God opens her eyes. What a difference it can make in life. Do you remember the two on the road to Emmaus? The Lord opened their eyes. Do you remember the blind man in John 9? God opened his eyes. You remember Elisha's young servant in 2 Kings 6, verses 12 through to 14? Do you remember Elisha was surrounded? The king of Syria had sent everybody to try and get this man Elisha and get him quieted, perhaps execute him, assassinate him, take him out of the picture. And when Elisha's servant saw the great army, he says, alas, my master, how shall we do? Or what are we going to do? He couldn't see any way out of it. He couldn't see any hope. Do you remember what Elisha said? 2 Kings 6, verse 16, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And then in verse 17, Elisha prayed. And what did he pray? Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Just like Hagar. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The psalmist said in Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. They that be with us are more than they that be against us. Do you need to open your eyes this morning? Do you need God to open your eyes this morning? I got a book just for this year, a book of daily readings. It's by the late Dr. Ian Paisley and his father. And 1 month is Dr. Paisley and the next month is his father. And I've been reading through it. And in February it was Dr. Paisley's father whose little pieces you get to read. And he had a little thought on 2 Kings 6 verse 16 where it says, you know, that his eyes would be open. And he took me over to Romans chapter 8, and he says, if God would open your eyes to see some of the rhetorical questions in Romans 8, let me share a few of them with you. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, if God would open our eyes and let us see that. If God be for us, who can be against us? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, there's a question mark there. Do you feel you're lacking somehow? Do you think that God is holding out on you? God is selling you short? How shall he not with him also freely giveth all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And here's my favorite. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? These are rhetorical questions. It doesn't matter what wilderness you're in this morning. It doesn't matter if the water's running out and the bread is gone. No one can separate you from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And of course, Paul says, nay. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 19. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. She saw the abundance of God's supply. Oh, that God would open your eyes this morning. That God would open my eyes and see his blessings, see his goodness, that we might count our blessings. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Oh, that God would open your eyes this morning and open my eyes. Are you in the wilderness this morning? Can you identify with the weeping woman in the wilderness this morning? Does everything look doom and gloom? Does everything look hopeless? Does there seem no help? Does nobody seem to care? Is there nobody listening? Is there nobody inquiring? Yes, there is one. There's the Lord this morning. And I'm praying that God would open our eyes, that you might see the well of water. You know, I think it was Alan Carr said that what a well we have. What a well we have. We've got salvation for the lost in the Word of God. We've got hope for the hopeless. We've got power for the weak. We've got joy for the brokenhearted. We have peace for the troubled soul. We've provision for the needy. We've got forgiveness for the fallen. We've got restoration for the broken. All is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, that God would open our eyes. That God would open your eyes. You see the treatment of Hagar this morning. You see the trial of Hagar this morning. You see the tears of Hagar this morning. God saw them. And God was moved by the tears of this weeping woman in the wilderness. You see something tremendous, and God. And God. And God stepped in, opened her eyes, and everything changed. You know, in Genesis chapter 16, the Lord had told Hagar, I will multiply thy seed. And here she is, and she's given up on Ishmael. She had given up on the promises of God. Have you given up on the promises of God? Does God need to open your eyes this morning? Does God need to draw close to you this morning? Do you need a Hagar experience this morning? God is listening. God is interested. And He'll meet you at the point of your need. The psalmist said, Thou tellest my wanderings, I put my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? He takes every note of every tear. Nobody cares? Yes. Jesus cares. And He cares about you this morning. Let's pray. It's good to